They've been at it again. Those wily investigators from the Government Accountability Office caught another agency red-handed. This time it's the State Department, which issued passports on carefully crafted applications containing errors that should have stopped the process. Here with details on what they found and what the State Department should do about it is the Managing Director for Forensic Audits at GAO, Greg Kutz. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so tell us what GAO did and what you found first. Give us the background.
Well, we found that the passport issuance process, although improved from our last time, remains vulnerable to fraud. And this time, again, like last time, we submitted 7 fraudulent applications to simulate the use of identity theft to use counterfeit breeder documents to obtain a genuine U.S. passport. So that's the real vulnerability. It's not that you can counterfeit the actual passport, but you can use counterfeit documents to get a genuine U.S. passport.
So out of 7, that means, okay, you got 3 back. 2, but they were recalled, and 2 didn't go through. So that's 3 out of 7. That's not a great percentage. How accurately do you think that result can be projected to the entire process that the State Department undertakes?
Well, it can't be. When you do these undercover tests, you can only do so many of them. But certainly there was some improvement because 2 of them they did flag this time are Social Security numbers, mismatches, for example, between a child's birth date and an adult that applied for the passport. So that was an improvement. And once they flagged those ones with the Social Security number problems, they were able to identify that we had fraudulently or counterfeit driver's licenses and birth certificates. Our driver's licenses were from West Virginia, and the birth certificates were from Florida.
And on Social Security numbers, does that mean the State Department has an accurate, up-to-date way of checking against Social Security numbers? Because the numbers go with certain dates of birth and areas, right? I mean, there's a specificity to SSAs, SS numbers, rather, that can tell you whether the birth date is correct.
Well, in some instances, we had a mismatch between the date of issuance of the Social Security number and the individual's birth date on the passport application. And in some cases, they caught it, in other ones, they didn't. So I'm not sure it's 100% accurate at this point, but when we did this a year ago, they did not catch any of them. We did 4, and we got through all 4 times. And so I believe that they're doing better matching with Social Security, but certainly matching of data and data sharing agreements is a key element of preventing fraud here.
Yeah, so it sounds like they have the two. I mean, I'm just interpreting this, but it seems like state probably has the tools. Maybe the question is, are they using them consistently?
Yes, I think that's accurate. They certainly have the tools to match Social Security numbers and to match the Social Security death file in case people are using deceased numbers to get a passport in this particular case. So they have it, and whether it's real-time or whether it's delayed, I don't know that. They're working to have real-time or instant access to Social Security. I think that's the best-case scenario here.
So what is the false information that got through most consistently?
Well, we had various red flags. For example, we had the counterfeit driver's licenses and birth certificates. We had Social Security numbers that were issued in 2002 and 2009 for a 62-year-old male. We had age differences in the passport and the driver's license photo. All of our driver's licenses were out of state. We used UPS stores or P.O. boxes as our addresses. And so we left a number of red flags out there that, again, in some cases they were able to identify, in other cases they weren't.
We're talking with Greg Kutz. He's Managing Director of Forensic Audits and Special Investigations at the Government Accountability Office. And what did the State Department say when you gave them these latest results?
Well, I don't think they were pleased. I think they would love to be 100% accurate and 100% have fraud prevention. I mean, no system's ever going to be 100% to prevent fraud. So they're heading in the right direction, but there are serious things that still need to be addressed. And we talked to them about training of people, continuing to perfect the Social Security and Death Master File matches. They're doing their own red team testing, we understand. Now, that's similar to what we do, only they're testing themselves. We think that's a very positive thing that they should continue to do. And they're looking to get better access to state databases for the DMVs or the Bureau of Vital Statistics so that they can validate the authenticity of driver's licenses and birth certificates. As you probably know, there's hundreds of different types of birth certificates and driver's licenses out there, so recognizing a counterfeit is very difficult.
I mean, it sounds as if the policy of a uniform driver's license nationwide, which was one of the 9/11 commission things that all the states have balked at, and that might help if it would ever come about, but it doesn't look like it's coming about.
That would certainly help in this particular case, because without the actual ability to validate the authenticity of the driver's license, just recognizing a counterfeit on its face is apparently difficult, because we've used counterfeit driver's licenses in many of our tests, and we never get caught.
And what about the electronic passport and the addition of electronic elements to passports? Does that have any effect on the ability to issue fraudulent passports?
Absolutely. I think it's very difficult to actually counterfeit the passport. So that's why the test we did and the test we did last year, too, are very, very important, because I think the biggest vulnerability now is using what's called breeder documents to get genuine passports rather than counterfeit these. These appear to be very highly counterfeit proof, if you will, versus a driver's license, as you mentioned, or a birth certificate are quite easy to counterfeit.
In other words, the passport itself is a very difficult thing to reproduce because there's only really one source of manufacturing them.
Right, and if you actually look at a new passport, the technology and the anti-fraud devices put into those seem to be very effective. We would have a very hard time counterfeiting, and I expect most people would.
So what did you specifically tell State Department to do, and have they shared their plans with you yet?
They certainly have, and they're looking for additional legislative authority to get access to certain databases. So it's a combination of human capital, in other words, training your people, improving your processes, for example, real-time matches with Social Security, and increased use of technology. They're using facial recognition technology, for example, now is something that they're trying to roll out nationwide as an anti-fraud measure. So it's a combination of the people, processes, and use of technology to continue to move forward. Plus, if you know the fraud people out there, they're going to be looking at new ways to defeat the system. So you always have to be nimble in what you do to prevent fraud.
And did the State Department say they have enough people to do what they need to do to prevent false passports?
They have not raised that as an issue, no. It's just a matter of additional training. And, you know, a lot of the people that are involved in this at the front end are at postal offices. Most passport applications are done at the Postal Service. So it's a matter of also working closely with the Postal Service.